Welcome back to another episode of the PAX What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. A really good football game coming up on Sunday Night Football, the third of four primetime games here for the Packers after two Thursday night contests. 9-4, Green Bay Packers traveling to Seattle to take on the 8-5 Seahawks, who are kind of surging, right? They started hot, got cold, back to surging on a three-game win streak, and they're right in the thick of things. They're kind of leading their division right now and hanging on to that final playoff spot to represent the NFC West. So this is a matchup, potentially, if the Packers stick to the sixth seed in the wild card, that we could see as early as wild card weekend. So Perry, what are your thoughts on this one?
This is such an interesting game. We were talking about this pre-show. Like, I don't know how much Seahawks football I've been able to watch this season because they haven't had a ton of games on primetime. This might be their first game in primetime this season. So they've really flown under the radar a ton as a team that's, like you said, in the playoffs right now, winning their division right now. I know that division is really challenging, but when you said 8-5, I was like, damn, okay, yeah. So it's been, we'll dive into the team as a whole, but I think in what I have been able to watch of them, I did actually go to a live Seahawks game a few weeks ago. I was at the Jets Seahawks game. They've been a little inconsistent. You said it, they were on a win streak and then they went on a four-game lose streak and now they're on a three-game win streak. So
four it's games. Been a little- I was going to correct myself. They've won four games now straight.
Four games straight. Okay. So, you know, they, again, it's been up and down and up and down season, new head coach, but a lot of veteran players on this team to kind of buoy a new head coach. They have a lot of strengths in a number of different areas, both on offense and on defense. So I think it's going to be a really fun game. When the Packers go to Seattle, it's always interesting. So I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, a Seahawks team that I've had a hard time quantifying. They look different now than they did certainly at the start of the season, but that goes for a lot of teams.
Yeah. I mean, certainly in the same camp as the team, like the Packers, where they're getting hot at the right time, had that stretch in the middle where they struggled, but three of their last four wins here in that four game win streak came across the NFC West, beat the Cardinals twice, beat the 49ers. So they have really set themselves up to be in good position to win this division. Even though the Rams are getting hot at a really good time, it just might not be enough to fend off the Seahawks unless, you know, the Seahawks start dropping games. I think if they win on Sunday, they have something like an 85% chance of the playoffs. And if they lose, they're still at 56%. And no one else in that division has more than like 40-ish percent chance, even with winning, to claim that division. So obviously, the Seahawks have a lot to play for, and it's a matchup that we've seen a lot. I didn't really realize that, you know, the dope sheet had said that, like, I think it's something like 10 straight games whoever has hosted the game has won. Like, there's some weird something about whoever's hosting, which is unfortunate because of the Hail Mary, obviously, or the Fail Mary, I should say, that game would have ended differently, but yeah. Packers have had a lot of luck recently at Lambeau, but haven't had to travel to Seattle very recently.
I don't love that stat considering they're going to Seattle, but I do think the comparisons to past teams are interesting because neither of these teams are this, I mean, even close to the same as the past. This is not a Russell Wilson led Seahawks team, and this is not an Aaron Rodgers led Packers team. So I love the, you know, they're fun. We love to look at them. There's a lot of history, of course, between these two franchises, but it's hard to do any kind of application of them to these two teams for this specific matchup, given just how different these rosters are.
Yeah, so let's start with the Packers offense, because going back to the dope sheet, you'll like this one at least. The Packers are 12-0, including the postseason against Seattle when they score 25 plus points. And obviously they're on a three game streak scoring over 30 points, even though, of course, one of those was in a loss. So if going into this one, I would feel like the floor for this Packers offense, the way that it's been clicking, is 25 points, you know, like, and maybe that's a very generous assumption, but even with the way that the Seahawks defense has been playing and they've been playing well, I think we're going to see a really good matchup on Sunday night. And I think the Packers know what's in front of them. Matt LaFleur has said it. Players have said it. Like, you might not be winning the NFC North at this point, but you still got to lock in your spot in the playoffs. And the Packers are in really good position to do that.
Yeah. Do we know at what point they can do that? Is it this game, or is it they still have one more win they need to get?
They technically can, but they need like a tie. So they need something that's statistically unlikely to happen.
So they need two wins.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, you said it. I agree with you. The floor should be at least 25 points. The Packers have been putting up numbers. They've looked a lot better in the red zone. They've looked a lot more automatic. Jordan Love is playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL since coming out of the bye week. That should continue. You mentioned this defense. This defense has been playing well as of late. They had a lot of struggles at the beginning of the season. They were 28th in the league, I believe, in the first half of the season. They have climbed the ranks now to somewhere in that average range. So even though they were performing poorly, they're not great, but they are doing a lot better. I mean, you expect that out of Mike McDonald. He left the Ravens as one of the best defensive coordinators in the league, and now he has brought that to the Seahawks, and it takes some time for a new head coach to bring a new scheme, bring a new just like wholesale change to a locker room, and you're starting to see it show in the second half of the season. I still think their weakness is their front. I expect the Packers to be able to run against this team. The strength to me is the back end. But at the same time, that is where I see Matt LaFleur be able to shine a little bit to scheme his receivers open. And it feels a little bit like a Packers bread and butter offensive game, where if they can get Josh Jacobs going on the ground, then they can open this up and do what they need to do and pass the ball. I think Jordan Love has been operating most effectively when he's passing the ball somewhere around 20 to 25 times a game, and not much more anyway. You want to be relying on the ground game. So I think that should be the formula on Sunday.
Yeah. And I mean, it's going to be really interesting, right? Some familiar faces there. Obviously, Jarran Reed has kind of had another career resurgence coming back to Seattle after his one season stint with the Packers. But it's really him and Leonard Williams kind of on that edge. And Leonard Williams is having a fantastic season. He is another one of the league's unicorns, where it seems like he somehow just continues to get better, has 7 sacks this year, 20 quarterback hits. So he certainly will be the player to watch, I think, in that front against this Packers offensive line. But beyond that, yeah, I mean, Derek Hall is playing well. Boye Mafe is playing well. But the front's getting pressure. But I think, well, you know, maybe there is a concern. I was going to say it shouldn't be concerning for this Packers offensive line. But they did struggle last week against backup defensive line against the Lions. So I think we'll see. I do agree to your point, though, that Mike McDonald has put his guys in a really good position to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason that the Packers struggled is because the Lions blitzed the hell out of them. And then once they got used to the blitz, the Packers were able to move the ball, and Jordan Love was able to run the offense. So it was just an adjustment to the level of like blitzing that was happening. If the Seahawks employ that same strategy, do we feel like they have the personnel to pull it off the same way the Lions do? Maybe the Lions were playing with backups. That's perfectly reasonable assumption that maybe the Seahawks can do it the same way. But B, if they do, I think the Packers would be more prepared this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly something to be said about that. You've just put on tape now your vulnerabilities, and I think that Matt LaFleur is pretty good at, you know, scheming around those things. So I agree with you that I think it's a big week for Josh Jacobs. Obviously, he continues to kind of be the focal point of the offense, which is really weird, you know, as Packers fans to talk about, considering we're so used to these really heavy passing offenses. But I think it's a Josh Jacobs week. I think Jordan Love has done a really good job protecting the football and keeping everything in front of him, playing a really clean game. And this is a Seahawks defense that, like we said, has kind of been hit or miss when it comes to the pressure they're generating, turnovers. The last couple weeks, they've had multiple turnovers, which is, of course, helpful trying to win football games. They're on like a 6 or 7 game streak with at least one turnover. So I think this one is going to come down to takeaways again, kind of the same way we talked about the Lions game. These are offenses that can put up points, and it's just how does your defense help you out in that? I think stealing one is important.
Yeah. And we'll get to the Seahawks offense, but to that point in turnovers, like Geno has more interceptions on the season than Jordan Love. Geno will throw you up one. So when he does, come down with it and steal a possession. The Seahawks have been generating turnovers. I did watch big boy Leonard Williams pick six Aaron Rodgers live. That was interesting. Do I expect that to happen this week? I really hope not. But to your point, you want to play clean and you don't want to give them any opportunities to come away with the football, because they have plenty of players who have the ability to make big plays like that.
Yeah, and I mean, their defense is 16th on third downs, or 17th on third downs, 6th on fourth downs, and then 11th in red zone defense. So the Packers offense, of course, has been playing better. They're getting consistently better in the red zone. I think they're up to like 15th in red zone offense, thankfully, or 12th, actually, in red zone offense. So they're putting it together at the right time, but they are going to see, you know, another solid third down and red zone defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I think for me, what I've been thinking about as I'm watching this Packers offense the last couple of weeks is they get behind on first and second down. I mean, this is maybe every offense, but some offenses are very good at moving the chains regardless of if it's third and long. It's a third and long situations that start to get really dicey. It's because you can't use Josh Jacobs. You know, the defense knows, well, they're not handing the ball off here. So you become very one-dimensional. And the wide receivers have been doing a very good job of getting open, creating explosive plays when they need to. It's been They've been increasingly better at actually catching those passes. Drops were an issue like earlier in the season. And so you're less concerned in those third and long situations. But you don't want to, they still are not converting at a high percentage on third down. And so you're sitting there in a position where you just don't want to get there. You don't want to have to put your offense in that position again, because you become one dimensional. So I'd like to see them just gain more on those, utilize first and second down in just like a more positive way.
Yeah, I think
obvious thing to say as I think out loud, you're like, yeah, duh, Perry, just don't get in third and long situations. But some teams are effective in those areas, and those situations aren't necessarily hampering to their offense. Whereas I feel like with the Packers, when they put themselves in those situations consistently within drives, they're usually drive enders.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that this team we've seen, you know, it can be feast or famine, right? They take a 54-yard shot to Christian Watson and move the chains and they get inside the red zone. And, you know, the flip side of that is they go three and out and then have to punt the ball away. So those sustained drives are part of how you mitigate some of those third and long situations that the Packers have struggled in. Romeo Doubs, hopefully, will be back this week as we're recording. Obviously, it's Tuesday night, so we don't have the injury report yet in front of us. And maybe that's, I guess, a good place to flip it now to the Packers defense. Big question marks for this Packers defense, right? Jaire Alexander had been limited in practice, obviously couldn't play against the Lions. And the Packers lose Evan Williams to a concussion. And then Javon Bullard has an ankle injury. He is considered week to week. We don't know if, you know, that 10-day gap was enough time for him to heal up for Sunday night. But that's potentially three starters that you're without again in your secondary. So tough when you're going up against a Seahawks offense that has weapons like DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith-Njigba and even, yes, Tyler Lockett, who might be in the twilight of his career but has had some really big moments against the Packers.
Yeah. Oh, this defense. I talked about this on Packaday, and I think it's worth discussing with you as well, which is just like the no Jaire. The no Evan Williams is unfortunate. We've seen them play without him, and we've seen this team play with him, and they very much play better when he is on the field. I think that's unequivocal. Losing Javon Bullard as well, really unfortunate. Now you're down two safeties. You're already without Jaire, having to move guys around a ton, play them out of position. play maybe some of your corners in areas that you don't want to play them in, and or play them in a higher snap count than you would have liked if you are Jeff Hafley. And now you're compensating once more because you don't have two safeties. I really don't want to see a game with Zane Anderson playing meaningful snaps on defense. I think when you get into that position here and you're that depleted, you're already playing from behind. And what we talked about on Sunday was just how much of a linchpin it's really shown that Jair is in this new Jeff Hafley defense, which is, it's been such a domino and ripple effect that without him, you have to move Nixon to the boundary, and then you have to move Javon Bowler down into the slot. And then he's, you know, and it's all the moving pieces where guys are playing well, but not necessarily playing in their intended and best positions. And it's the NFL, and you're going to have injuries, and we just heard you rattle off all of the injuries, and now it's compounded by losing two additional safeties. So I think it's still a possibility that Jair plays, and if he does, you feel much, much better because you want Jair Alexander covering DK Metcalf over anybody else on this roster. But the domino effect of him being out was a really just unexpected and unintended consequence that I didn't foresee for this defense.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly the way to get these younger guys reps or these depth pieces reps is to have them play. But there's certain moments, right, when you want to test out some of these packages. And when you're playing against a team like the Lions and it's in the fourth quarter and you're down to the wire and you're in it and it's a one-score game, certainly not the time, right? Like you said, that you want Zane Anderson to be out there. We haven't seen anything from, like, Ketan Oladapo hasn't really played on defense at all this season, but I'm not sure, to your point, you know, the Seattle offense is when you throw those guys out there. So sometimes out of necessity, of course, that happens. But again, to your point, I think Nixon's been playing really well. I think Carrington Valentine has been playing really well. But you can certainly see the liabilities, right? Eric Stokes has been getting bullied. There's always somebody that's going to come in and they're going to be the new target. We've seen Jordan Love do it. Every quarterback does it. It's instinctual, right? The weakest link in the secondary is where you're going to focus your targets. And if you're without Evan Williams and Jair and Javon Bullard, it becomes a little bit easier. You know, there's not maybe one weak link. There's two or three. And especially if the Packers, right, have to play some of that soft zone that we saw, like if they're sitting and they're not playing press man and doing some of the things that their corners are typically better at, it could be challenging to give up those chunks. We saw it against the Dolphins. We saw it against the Lions. That's how you lose football games, is the dink and dunk.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you that it's also the reason why the middle of the field has been so open. They're doing just fine covering the boundary, but when you have Jair, you have potentially Valentine, and you can move Nixon to his more natural position, you're going to see the middle of the field, and you're also missing Edgerrin Cooper, which we haven't touched on either. The middle field is going to be wide open, and people like to knock Nixon for, you know, not being the best and da, da, da. He is one of the better slot corners in the league. That's why they played him. And I think last week is a really glaring example of how much they miss him playing in his preferred position. I also think it impacts Xavier McKinney a ton because he's maintaining, I like to call it in my job, you're maintaining status quo. You're not able to be proactive, and you want Xavier McKinney to be out there hunting, because when Xavier McKinney, everything's working appropriately and Xavier McKinney is able to go hunt, go be proactive, that's when you get to see those turnovers. That's when he's playing his, you know, all pro best ball. And this would be a game to me that I would think he would have those opportunities because of how much the Seahawks can turn the ball over. But I don't know if he's going to be able to do that unless he gets an easy one because of how much he's going to have to cover.
Yep. So we talked about, obviously, Geno Smith a little bit and how he somehow it's crazy to me that he's second in the league in passing yardage, just because we're not talking about like a prolific Seahawks offense the same way that we would talk about, you know, I mean, Joe Burrow leads the league for a reason with Ja'Marr Chase, but the Seahawks offense is very good at times, but Geno Smith putting up a ton of passing yards, not a ton of passing touchdowns. Their run game has gotten significantly better. We talked about it a little bit pre-show with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. 176 rushing yards against the Cardinals this past week. It was the highest output of the season. The three games before that, they didn't top 100 rushing yards. And the Packers' defense has played well against the run, but certainly not the best time for them to see a team that is surging and has kind of a resurgent run game when their focus has typically been on the passing game.
I actually disagree. I think I'd love to see how this Packers defense does against a good run team, because I feel confident that they can stop a good run team. They've looked great against the run.
Might help your secondary out if you
100%. I think if that's what the Seahawks want to do, if they want to really go in there and try to run against the Packers, by all means, that is their strongest point on defense at the moment. Their strongest point is not their pass rush and it's not their secondary. It is their ability to stop the run. So I would love to see the Seahawks test that. Now, not if the Packers don't do well and the Seahawks are finding giant holes, but I have loved the way the Packers have been playing the run this season. And I think that when they create negative plays and put the Seahawks in non-advantageous positions and force them to throw the ball, they could be successful. That is if they, you know, can stop a 3rd-and-14 or something to that effect.
And I mean, I think this defense has been so interesting, right? Like, they gave up 179 rushing yards to the Bears and eked out that win. And then against the Dolphins and against the 49ers, they gave up like a combined 80 yards on the ground to really good run teams. And then even against the Lions, 111 yards. And granted, part of that is because that Lions game turned into a shootout and neither team really ran the ball a ton because out of necessity, they were picking up chunk plays through the air. But it is, I think it's telling, you know, to your point about this Packers defense, that even in games where they're giving up like 120, 130 yards on the ground, they're still, you know, winning pretty handedly. And I think that's what we want to see from this defense on Sunday, is how they handle this dynamic attack. Because again, could be a team they see very quickly here coming up in the wild card in just a couple weeks, which is still crazy to think about, the fact that we have only 4 games left of the regular season. But yeah, time to polish everything up before the playoffs.
So crazy. Do you have stats on the Seahawks special teams?
What kind of stats?
I ask because, and again, this is a tiny sample size, but, and I may have just gone to a very wonky game, but Seattle's Seahawks special teams really took it to the Jets. I think they had a return for a touchdown. They had a few blocks. So I think about, I mean, we always talk about Packers offense, Packers defense, but I think the Packers also just need to be very clean on special teams this week. You know, Seattle is also not the easiest place to kick. Not that I don't have full confidence in Brandon McManus, but I've seen the Seahawks make big plays on special teams. The Packers have as well this season. But just looking for clean play in defense.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw Nixon, obviously he feels like he's kind of inching closer. Brandon McManus is 91.7% on field goals. Wow. And Jason Myers is 87% on field goals. So two really solid kickers at this point. Obviously I think settling for 3 to me is a win for this Packers defense at this point, without the guys that we think that they'll be without on Sunday. We'll see. Again, it's only today. You know, it's possible that Evan Williams clears concussion protocol. We don't know what the Bullard injury is going to look like with that ankle. Hopefully Jair becomes more of a full participant in practice and less limited, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. All right, what are your final thoughts?
Boy, I don't know. I guess I feel, it's hard to feel confident against the Seahawks, right? Because there's so much history here. So the game is nerve-wracking just because we've seen the playoff significance. It's the same way we see, you know, the Packers and the 49ers. Like, it's a really historic rivalry at this point for the Packers. But I feel good. I don't have a ton of concerns about this Packers team going into Seattle and leaving with a win. And maybe that is, you know, overconfident, but just the way that this Packers team is playing, and yes, they lost to the Lions, and our comments last week certainly let us hear that they did in fact lose to the Lions.
Which, by the way, we are aware.
And we don't want to discredit the Lions, right? I don't think that's what we were doing on the show, but I think that we forget that this is a really solid Packers team. The same way the Vikings are a really solid team. Like, all three of these NFC North teams are really good football teams. And, you know, outside of maybe the Eagles, that's, you know, probably your four best front runners in the NFC. So I think the Packers are playing like a team that's going to make a deep postseason push. And to do that, you beat a team like the Seahawks. So I don't know. I feel like the Packers really kind of keep their foot on the gas. And it's another one where they go over 30 points on offense.
Yeah. I feel very similarly. I'm not really one to be here for the historic lore. As I mentioned, this is, if it was Rodgers and Russell Wilson going up against each other, yeah, by all means, but these teams are radically different than ever before. I don't think anybody on this team is left from that 2014 season. You can correct me on that, but I'm almost positive that there is no one left. It's been 10 years. Let's move on from the fear of playing in this place and turn a page and go in and win. I think this Packers team is better than the Seahawks. I expect them to come out of this game with a win. I think it's a win that's a pretty solid handed win. 10 points. Is where I'm at. 31-21, 34-24, somewhere in that realm. But a solid statement win on the road.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly that. 31-21 or 31-24. I think the Seahawks can move the ball. We talked about all the reasons why we think they can move the ball, especially if the Packers defense is not at full strength. But I think that the Packers are just playing really good football, and I think the Packers will jump out to a lead, which will also help, right? Where that defense plays better when this Packers offense, you know, puts up points and they're playing with a lead. And unfortunately we didn't see that, you know, really against the Lions, but look at how they performed against the Niners and the Dolphins once they had that little bit of cushion. And I think we kind of see that same thing, and maybe the Seahawks get like a garbage time touchdown and that's what makes the score feel closer than it is. But I don't really see the Packers letting this one slip or letting this one be as contentious as Detroit.
I agree with you.
There we go. We'll see. Hopefully we have a lot of fun coming up here. Obviously Packers Seahawks on Sunday night. And then we will not have a recap show for you like normal on Monday, because we have a very special guest joining the show Wednesday night. Mina Kimes will be on Packs What She Said for the second time, to break down the Seahawks game and to look ahead to the playoff picture. So make sure you join us for that one. It's going to be a ton of fun. We love Mina. She's the absolute best. And the last time she came on, we had a blast. So yeah, Can't wait to do that one again. So again, don't look for us on Sunday or Monday. Wait for Wednesday, because it will be absolutely worth it to hear from the great Mina Kimes. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Blue Sky at Packs What She Said, YouTube at Packs What She Said, and everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. Please like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Enjoy the game, and we'll have some great football to talk about with a very special guest on Wednesday night. Thank you, as always, for listening, and go Pack Go!
Go Pack Go!